Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our virtual Mishnah Berurah here. We're holding a Mishnah Berurah Chelek Gimel, and Miras Hashem, today we will be learning Daf Kuf Ches Amid Beis. Once again, I have to apologize in advance that today's share is going to be audio only, not for the same reason as other times. Right now, there's a lot of very intense Pesach preparation going on very close to my study where I usually record my shir, and there just would have been too much background noise to successfully record the shir. Where I am saying the shir is not a place where I really can do video, so the shir unfortunately is going to have to be audio only for today. Our learning should be a schus refu shalema from a Shemer ben Estrel Fradel, for Yitzchak ben Siyain ben Dusha, and for a very, very chash of a Talmud Chacham and a very dear friend of mine, Rafal Yisrael Menachem, and I believe it's Ben Ita Genendel. If I don't have the name right, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam knows who it is. Everyone should please have him in mind. Again, he's a very, very chash of a Talmud Chacham and a dear friend who is in need of Rachamei Shamayim. Our learning should also be a schus for Yonason ben Michal and Yoel ben Michal, together with all of our other brothers and sisters that find themselves in harm's way, b'chol makom shehem. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam should please watch over them in the schus of the Talmud Torah of the Tzibur. Okay, so we pick up today on Kuf Ches Amid Aleph, two lines off the bottom in the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Ches Sif Chaf Aleph. Now, the topic of conversation that we picked up with in the last shir with Sif Chaf, really, we're dealing and we're going to be dealing with different items that are Muktza Machmas Gufay. So these are items that have a very high level of Muktza. They're Muktza Machmas Gufay. They're intrinsically Muktza. And by that, what we mean is these are items that are not Kalim. They're not utensils. They don't have a specific usage. Really, they're items that are not designated for any kind of usage at all. And therefore, they're completely the opposite of Muchan. They are not prepared in any way for Shabbos use. They're inherently unprepared for Shabbos use. They have absolutely no clear and designated usage, let alone a use for Shabbos. And therefore, they are completely Muktza. Yet, the halacha is that before Shabbos, it is possible to take something which is Muktza Machmas Gufay and turn it effectively into a keli by using one of several different methods by which you could do this. Now, the method that you need to use in order to take something which is Muktza Machmas Gufay and turn it into a keli depends. It depends on just how high level the level of Muktza is when it comes to that particular item. Now, again, we broached this subject already when we learned Sif Chaf. Now, let's give a brief recap of Sif Chaf so that we can follow the thread of the Mechaber through from Sif Chaf to Sif Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, Chaf Gimel, Chaf Dalid, Chaf Hey. I think that's about as far as we're going to get today, but let's see. So in Sif Chaf, the Mechaber discussed the case of Chariyos Shel Dekel. So these are date palm branches. Now, we spoke out in the last chair, date palm branches really were commonly used in two different ways. One way they were used was for kindling. You made a fire with them. Another way that they were used was you made a seat cushion out of them. Now, by default, the date palm branches are considered to be Muktza Machmas Gufay. That would be the default position. Now, somebody goes ahead and he cuts down these Chariyos Shel Dekel. So the Mechaber said in Sif Chaf, Chariyos Shel Dekel Shekitzasam L'Sreifa. If you cut down date palm branches, and when you cut them down, you had in mind that they should be kindling. Well, now the truth is, I have to correct something that I said. Well, we're only a few minutes into the share. I already have to make a correction. I said that the default position of Chariyos Shel Dekel is that they're Muktza Machmas Gufay. That's not true. I'm correcting that. You cut down the Chariyos Shel Dekel, said the Mechaber, if you cut them down for Sreifa, if when you cut them down, you had in mind that they should be kindling, then they are Muktza Machmas Gufay. The reason the Muktza Machmas Gufay is because firewood is about as inherently Muktza as you could get. A piece of firewood is not a keli. it's not a utensil in any way. And this piece of wood is a wood that you designated for burning, and you can't burn it on Shabbos. So if you cut down Chariel Shel Dekel for Sreifa, then you turned them effectively into items that are Muktza Machmas Gufay, and therefore, like the Mechaber said in Sivchav, also Lataltalam. You're not allowed to handle them. Having said that, if on Erev Shabbos you have a stack of Chariel Shel Dekel that you cut down for Sreifa, and now you want to be able to sit on them for Shabbos, it's possible to turn them into seat cushions. And the Mechaber in Sivchav spoke out three different possible methods by which you can turn them into seat cushions. One of them was, Yashav aleihem me'at mibo'od yom. You incidentally sat on them on Erev Shabbos. So you went out to your backyard on Erev Shabbos. You needed to ruigzich up a little bit. You wanted to relax. You looked for a place to sit. You saw the Chariel Shel Dekel that you had cut down for Sreifa purposes. And you went and you sat on them. Now, like we spoke out in the previous year, when you sat on them, you weren't in Hilchah Shabbos mode. You weren't thinking about Hilchah Shabbos. You didn't sit on them thinking, oh, I'm designating them as seat cushions. You just happened to go over to them and sit on them. That's why I used the word incidental. The Mechaber said, even if you do that on Erev Shabbos, merely by the fact that you sat down on them on Erev Shabbos, you have now successfully transformed them from being items that are muktzah machmas gufay into being seat cushions, into being something which is now a keli, and it's a kli shemalach de leheter. And since it's a kli shemalach de leheter, now you're going to be allowed to be metaltalit on Shabbos for any reason whatsoever. You could sit on it, certainly, but not only you could sit on it, you could move them to a different place to sit on them, or you could move them for any other reason under the sun, because now they are kelim shemalachtem leheter. Then the Mechaber also mentioned two other possible methods that you might employ to turn them into kelim shemalachtem leheter. One of them was if you actually tied them together to make a seat cushion out of them. Well, in that case, you actually did a maisa. You actually did something to the Chariel Shel Dekel to physically turn them into seat cushions. That certainly would make the Chariel Shel Dekel non-muktza and would turn them to a kelim shemalachtem leheter. The other method, the third method that the Mechaber mentioned was im chashav aleihem mibo'od yom leishav aleihem afilu b'chol. If you merely thought, mentally, you looked at them, you looked out the window, you looked at them, and you thought to yourself, oh, I have those Chariel Shel Dekel that I had cut down. You know what? I'm going to use them for seat cushions. Even that is also effective to turn, again, you're taking Chariel Shel Dekel that you cut down for Sreifa, so they were Muktza Machmas Gufay, and you're transforming them by one of these methods to turn them into Kelim Shemalachtem Leheter. Now, it's very important to take note of this sif, and that's why I repeated it. This sif kind of lays the groundwork for everything that comes after it. Again, the Mechaber here in Sif Chaf gave us three different possible ways to take something that's Muktza Machmas Gufay and to turn it into a keli, to give it Tiras Kli, and turn it into something which is non-muktza. And I'm going to speak out now that the three are actually four. And they have different, they have varying levels of effectiveness. Some of them are more powerful than others. So the weakest one of them all is the first one that the Mechaber mentions in Sif Chaf, which is Yashav aleihem ma'at mibo'od yom. If you incidentally used the item for a particular usage, but you had no kavana in mind, you had no intent to make it into a keli, you certainly had no thought about Hilchah Shabbos in mind, so by the Chariel Shel Dekel, you just happened to sit on it. That is a very weak way of being able to turn something Muktza Machmas Gufay into a keli. Now, by Chariel Shel Dekel, that's enough. Okay, we'll call that the lowest level. Then there's a level above that. The level above that would be chashav aleihem mibo'od yom. If you thought to designate it as a keli mibo'od yom before Shabbos started. So that would be you looked out into your backyard, you saw the Chariel Shel Dekel, and you thought, I'm going to use them as a seat cushion. Now, In this level of Choshev Aleihem, there are two levels. One level is you thought about using it on a temporary basis. You looked and you said, yeah, for this Shabbos, I want to be able to sit out in the backyard. I heard the weather is supposed to be nice. I don't have any lawn chairs. For this Shabbos, I want to be able to use these Chariot Shel Dekel to be seat cushions. That's a temporary designation. You thought about designating them as seat cushions only for this particular Shabbos. So that would be level number two. So level number one was incidentally sitting on them. Level number two is mentally designating them as a keli, but only for one time use, or only for one Shabbos use. Level number three is a higher level, and that is you mentally designate something which is muksa machmas gufay to turn it into a keli on a permanent basis. So an example that I like to use for that is you happen to have a heavy garage, a heavy door in the back of your garage, and you need something to prop it open, and you see a conveniently sized and a conveniently shaped rock, and you look at it and you decide, for now on, that's going to be my doorstop. Now, it's not for this Shabbos I need a doorstop, I'm going to make it my doorstop for this Shabbos. No. This is, you know what, that's going to make a perfect doorstop. I don't need to go to Home Depot and find any kind of doorstop. I could use that rock. For now on, that rock is my doorstop. That's what we call Choshev Aleihem. You thought about it to use it la'olam, on a permanent level. So now, so far, we have three methods in, I guess, what you would call ascending order of power. Method number one is just incidentally happening to use something before Shabbos. You grabbed the rock and you stuck it in front of the door with no machshava, no kavana, no anything. You just happen to incidentally use it. That's the least powerful method. Method number two, you thought to designate it as a keli, but only for a one Shabbos basis, a temporary basis. Level number three, you thought to designate it as a keli, but you did it la'olam, on a permanent basis. Then there's the highest possible level, which is level number four, which is mentioned over here in Sif Chaf, which is where you actually did a maisa. The example by the Chariot Shel Dekel that the Mechaber gives is you took the branches and you actually tied them into seat cushions. You actually did a maisa to take the item that was muktzeh machmas gufay and turn it into a keli. That's the most powerful method of all. So again, in Sif Chaf, we speak about Chariot Shel Dekel, and by Chariot Shel Dekel, the Mechaber says, even the weakest method of all, you just happen to incidentally sit on this pile of Chariot Shel Dekel on Erev Shabbos, the lowest level, the least powerful method, even that works by Chariot Shel Dekel. Now against that backdrop, let's move it to Sif Chaf Aleph. Says the Mechaber, Aval Nidbach Shel Avonim. If you have a row of stones, so you have a row of stones lined up in the backyard. Okay, stones are muktzeh machmas gufay. They have no intrinsic usage. They're not kelim. Ein toras kli aleihem. They're not considered kelim. So they're muktzeh machmas gufay. Aval nidbach shel avonim. You have this row of stones in the backyard. Says the Mechaber, Afal pi shechoshav alav miba'od yom. Even if you look at them on Shabbos afternoon, and you decide, you know what, this Shabbos, the weather is going to be nice outside, I want to be able to sit on them. I intend on sitting on them this Shabbos, on Shabbos afternoon. So, afa pisha chashav alav biba'od yom, and it seems clear from the Mishnah Berurah that what the Mechaber means over here is what I'm going to call our level two. You thought about them to make a temporary designation. For one Shabbos, you want to designate them as chairs, to sit on them on Shabbos afternoon. Says the Mechaber, Afa pi shechashav alav biba'od yom. Even if you actually had that thought, that this Shabbos you want to be able to sit on them, Aser leishev aleihem, that does not make them kelim. They're still going to be muksa. They're still going to be aser betiltel. And says the Mechaber, Ela im kein limdum. Unless, and the Ramah puts it in the parentheses, Pirish Sidrum, unless you actually go ahead and do a Maisa, unless you go ahead and you arrange them, you stack them up and you arrange them for use as seating. Now, there's a little bit between the lines over here, but let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah and we'll will point out what we have to point out in the context of the Mishnah Berurah. First, the Mishnah Berurah is going to point out to us what exactly is the difference between this Nidbach Shel Avonim, when the Mechaber seems to say that you need a Maisa in order to make them non-Muktzah, and the Chariah Shel Dekel, where not only you don't need a Maisa, you don't even really need a Machshava. As long as you incidentally sat on them on Erev Shabbos, or Thursday, but sometime before Shabbos, they're already non-Muktzah. So why is the Nidbach Shel Avonim more chamor than the Chariyos? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Katan Pei Zayin, Al Nidbach. Vatam, the reason for this chamor is the Chariyos, because when it comes to the branches, Ikka Dekaimu Yeshiva Ve'ikka Dekaimu Le'etzim. We spoke this out in the previous year, and we spoke it out in the beginning of this year. The Chariyos Shel Dekel had two very and equally common usages. One was Lisrefa, the other one was for seat cushions. The Kan Loi Nesru, and in our case of Siv Chaf Aleph, the only reason these Chariyos Shel Dekel were Muktzamach Basgufay, Element Meim Nachshavtoi Shekhtasan Lisrefa. The only reason these Chariyos Shel Dekel that we discussed in Siv Chaf Aleph were Mukta is because when you cut them, you had in mind to cut them for kindling. So it was your original machshava when you cut them that made them muktzamach maskufa. And this is why I corrected myself in the beginning of this year. The Mishnah Berurah had spoken out that by default, they're not muktzamach maskufa. Because by default, they have two equally common usages, and one of them is mamish heter. One of them is to sit on. The problem with these Chariyos Shel Dekel of Siv Chaf Aleph is that when you cut them to Sreifa. So what was it that made them Machmas Gufay? Your Machshava to designate them as Sreifa, as kindling. Umipnekach, Machsheves Yeshiva Moitziyah Mi Machsheves Sreifa. That's why, says the Mishnah Berurah, when it comes to Siv Chaf, we could be very makel. When it comes to Siv Chaf, it's very easy to make them non-mukta. Your simple machshava to use them as a seat cushion, even on a temporary basis for one Shabbos, will make them ois mukta. Not only that, even if you just happen to sit on them before Shabbos, it will make them ois mukta. Because it's a very low level of mukta machmas gufay. By default, they're not mukta machmas gufay. You made them mukta machmas gufay when you cut them for kindling. Since you made them mukta with your original machshava, it's very easy to make them non-muktzah. Avon nidbach shel avonim, but by this row of stones of Siv Chaf Aleph, leka dekoyli yeshiva. By default, these stones are not there. They're not used for seating purposes, by default. By default, the nidbach shel avonim are muktzah machmas gufay. Lefikach, therefore, ein machshava ma'ilo la'aseis akli, your machshava to use them on a temporary basis for seating cannot turn them into kelim. V'tzarech ma'isa lo'ichyach shehen li'yeshiva, and you need an actual ma'isa, and that's what the Mechaber said, simply. The Mechaber said you need a ma'isa. What was the ma'isa? Limdum, stacking them, or arranging them. U'be'inyin zeh ha'ma'isa hu hasidur. So, explains the Mishnah Berurah, what's the Mechaber saying in Siv Chaf Aleph? You have this Nidbach Shel Avonim, this row of stones sitting in the backyard. The row of stones are very Muktzah Machmas Gufay. They don't have an equal usage that would make them Kalim. No, these are intrinsically Muktzah Machmas Gufay. If you want to make them Ois Muktzah, simply incidentally sitting on them in Erev Shabbos would not be enough. Not only that, a Machshava to designate them as seating on a temporary basis would not be enough in order to make them non-mukta. A simple reading of the Mechaber seems to say that what do you need to make them ois mukta? You need a maisa. What's the maisa? Limdum. Going ahead and arranging them for seating purposes. Now, I have to interject over here that it's very clear from the Mishnah Berurah coming up soon that that's not really the case. And the Mishnah Berurah learns that that's not really what the Mechaber meant. When the Mechaber says, Ele im kein limdum, and when the Mishnah Berurah says over here that by the Nidbach Shel Avonim you actually need a Maisa and Machshava is not enough, what he means is what we called level number two. A temporary Machshava. To think about and designate them mentally as seating for one Shabbos is insufficient. But a machshava la'olam, if you would mentally designate them to be seating permanently, that would be enough, even though it's not a maisa. That's going to become apparent from the Mishnah Berurah, and I'll point it out to you when we get there. Okay, continues the Mishnah Berurah. V'im kein, be'etzim shalanu, when it comes to our wood, okay, he's referring back now to the Chariyo Shel Dekel, he's going to say that that doesn't apply to us nowadays. V'im kein, be'etzim shalanu she'ein oimid b'shum pam li'yeshiva, our stacks of firewood, nobody ever uses them for seating. Elalah hasaka. That's always for kindling. So then it's like the nidbach shel avanim. That's what he's saying here. Our firewood is not sifchaf. Sifchaf, the chariot shel dekel, were equally used for seating or for firewood. Our firewood is not. Our firewood is firewood. So by our firewood, nami be'inan cheyase behemaisa min ba'odyoim, our firewood would require a maisa to make them ois muktzah min ba'odyoim, or you would have to mentally designate them la'olam for seating or for some kind of keli usage min ba'odyoim. U'kamosha kasa b'sivchaf beiz le'inyan bekas, and this is going to be like the halacha that we're going to see in Sifchaf Beis when we talk about a block of wood. Deloy mahani b'masha yichadol l'shabazu, by a wooden block, we're going to see in Sifchaf Beis, it's not sufficient to make a wooden block non-mukta if you just mentally designate it for a Shabbos usage for one Shabbos. Now, this is one of the places where you see very clearly in the Mishnah Berurah that even though the Mishnah Berurah keeps on saying that by the Nidbach Shel Avonim, or by the Eitzim Shalanu, by our firewood, mental designation is not enough, and you actually need a Maisa, he doesn't really mean that. What he means is mental designation for temporary usage. Mental designation for one Shabbos is insufficient, and what you need is either a Maisa, or at least Machshava La'olam. Because he references here Chasif Chav Beis and the Din of a Bekas. And that's the halach of Sifchav Beis, and that's the halach of a Bekas. By a Bekas, mental designation la'olam is enough. So very clearly, that's what the Mishnah Berurah means. Oiskot and Peches, leishev aleihem, you're not allowed to sit on them. That was the words of the Mechaber. The words of the Mechaber were, by the Nidbach Shel Avonim, if you had a machshava to use them as seating for one Shabbos, also leishev aleihem, points out the Mishnah Berurah, Pirsha Magen Avram, Dehainu L'Taltalam B'Shabbos, Kedei leishev aleihem. What the Mechaber means is not that it's also to sit on them. Avo Yeshiva L'Chudah, simply sitting on them, Shari B'Chol Inyan, is Mutar V'Chana, like we said earlier. Remember, Muktzah, the Isser is Tiltal, the Isser is moving them out of their place. To sit on Muktzah is not usr. What the Mechaber means when he says usr leishev aleihem means you're not allowed to move them in order to sit on them. And the Mishnah Berurah said eli in kein limdum. Limdum means to arrange them. Now, points out the Mishnah Berurah, nice peites, eli in kein limdum, a simple reading of the Mechaber, meloshan Mechaber mashma, the language of the Mechaber implies, debazesh sidram meba'idyam kedei leishev aleihem, right? The Mechaber seems to be saying, okay, you have this nidbach shel avonim, it's muktzah masgufay. If you think about using them for one Shabbos for seating, insufficient. It's still muktzah. What do you need? You need a maisa. What's the maisa? Limdum, arranging them. Okay, so what does it sound like? It sounds like if you arrange them, you did a maisa, you turned them into kelim. So what are they now? Now the kelim shemalachtam leheter. If the kelim shemalachtam leheter, then mutar betiltal. So meloshan mechaber mashma, for the language of the mechaber, it's implied to possess a sidram ba'idyom kedei leishev aleihem. If you arranged them for seating purposes before Shabbos, hu bechal maisa gemura, that has the status of doing a bona fide maisa to them. You turned them into kelim umutar shuv letaltal lemachar afilu lehedya. And now they're kelim shemalachtam leheter, and you could move them around as much as you want. But the Magen Avram disagrees with this Mechaber, and he learns the sugya in Masechta Shabbos. He follows Rashi's pirush. Okay, I read the words. Let me tell you briefly and succinctly, I'll try, what it is that the Magen Avram says and how he differs with the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos tells us a story. The Gemara tells us that one time Rebbe decided that he was going to say Shir on Shabbos in a specific location, and there were stones there. And the Gemara says that there was a discussion with Rebbe whether the stones are muktzah or not, and what Rebbe told them was, limdum, go ahead and arrange them. Now there's a question of how to understand the Gemara. The one way to understand the Gemara is that what Rebbe was saying was the way the Mishnah Berurah learned it till now, the way the Mishnah Berurah understands the Shulchan Aruch, which is limdum means go ahead and arrange them. Now that you pick them up and you arrange them for seating purposes, you did a maisa gemura. Once you did a bona fide maisa to them, you turned them into kelim shamalachtam leheter, and now you could be betaltalem for whatever reason you want. That's the way the Mechaber learns. The Magen Avraham does not learn the Gemara that way. The Magen Avraham follows Rashi's pirush of the Gemara. Rashi's pirush of the Gemara is that Rebbe was conceding the fact that the stones were muktzah, and therefore what Rebbe said was not limdum, go ahead and arrange them to make them ois muktzah. No. What Rebbe was saying was, you know what? You're right. They're muktzah. And simply arranging them for seating purposes does not qualify as a maisa, because you're not doing anything to the stones. It's not like you're going ahead and you're chiseling off a piece of the stone to make it a smooth surface that you could sit on. That would be a bona fide maisa. But that's not what you're doing. You're simply picking up the stones and arranging them, maybe at a good height or something else, to use them for seating. No, that's not a bona fide maisa. That would not make it ois muktzah. So Rebbe wasn't saying, limdum, arrange them to make them ois muktzah. No. What Rebbe was saying was, limdum, arrange them to avoid the problem of muktzah. What Rebbe was saying was, look, arrange them so that they're prepared for sitting. Now the Talmidim will go and they'll sit on them. And sitting on muktzah is not a problem. So limdum was not to make them ois muktzah. Limdum was a way of saying, look, they're going to be muktzah. And if they're going to be muktzah, so the Talmidim are going to show up tomorrow, they're not going to be able to move them around and arrange them in a good setting so that they'll be able to sit down and listen to the shir. So arrange them on Erev Shabbos so that there will be no need to move them on Shabbos and you'll avoid the problem of muktzah. Since the Magen Avraham learns that way, so Magen Avraham et tzadik kishitas Rashi, ta'asid eloi mahani el k'desh eloi yitztarek ligamem lamachar. So not like the Mechaber. The Mechaber learns that limdum is actually a maisa. Limdum is the most powerful method of all of making the stones ois muktzah. You're actually doing a kelim, a maisa. You're turning them into kelim shamalachtam leheter, and now they're non-muktzah. Now you can move them for whatever reason at all. The Magen Avraham, on the other hand, learns like Rashi, and he says, no, limdum does not rate as a maisa. The Rebbe's point of limdum was only to avoid muktzah. Okay. Now let's go to the top line here in Kuf Ches Amud Beis. So, the Mechaber, the Shitas HaMechaber over here, according to the Mishnah Berurah, the Nidbach Shel Avonim, their Muktzamach Mas Gufay, Machshava to designate them for seating for one Shabbos is insufficient to make them non-Muktza. What do you need to make them non-Muktza? Either a bona fide Maisa, like Limdum, according to the Mechaber, or, and this is between the lines, or a machshava la'olam, a machshava to turn them into seating for a permanent basis. That's the shitas of a chaber. Hagah says the Ramah, v'yeshayim, but there are those that say the din avadim kedin chariyos. There are those that take issue with the mechaber, and they hold that the din of the nidbach shel avadim is identical to sif chaf aleph, to the din of the chariyos shel dekel. That it's not that the nidbach for avadim are more chomer. The Mechaber, again, learns that the Nidbach Shel Avonim are more chomer than the Chariyos Shel Dekel, because the Chariyos Shel Dekel very commonly are used for seating. The Nidbach Avonim are not commonly used for seating. Therefore, you need a more powerful method to make them ois muktzah. Says the Ramah, no, there are others that differ, and they say the Nidbach Shel Avonim has the same din of the Chariyos. And therefore, even by the Nidbach Shel Avonim, even if you used the weakest method possible, you just incidentally sat on them on Erev Shabbos, that would be enough to turn them into kelim. And the Ramah says, v'chein ikar, that is the halacha, says the Ramah. Says the Mishnah Berurah tzadik, v'chein ikar, ayin b'magen Avraham. However, take the Magen Avraham, who's much more machmir, shehisig al Ramah, he disagrees with the Ramah, u'sfirale, and he holds the even chomer mechariyos, that the Nidbach Shalavanim is more Chamor than the Chariyah Shaldekel, Kamosha Kasa Basif Chaf Beis, and that the din of the Nidbach Shalavanim would be very similar to what we're going to see in the next Sif by a Bikas, a block of wood, or something like that, or a stone, the Be'ina Dafka Yichud La'olam, that the only method that would work is at least, well, not the only method, but you at least need the method of Machshava La'olam. You would need to look at them and have kavana that you want to use these for kelim on a permanent basis. So the mechaber is not liking this Ramah. He's following the shita of the mechaber. Let's pause for just a second here. So what do we have so far? So if we're going to follow this Magen Avram, and we're gonna follow the Mishnah Berurah here in Ois Katan Tzadik, and we're gonna go with the Magen Avram, who's going with the Mechaber, not like the Ramah. So we have so far over here two different cases. We have the Chariyoy Shel Dekel, where since they're very commonly used for two equal purposes, one for Sreifa, which would make them Muktzamachmas Gufay, two for seeding, which would make them Kelim Shemalachtam Leheter. So if you cut them down by default, they're not mukta. If you cut them down for sreifa, they're mukta machmas gufay. However, if on Erev Shabbos you simply incidentally sat on them, or certainly if you had even a temporary machshava to use them as seating for one Shabbos, or certainly if you had a machshava to use them permanently as seating, they're no longer mukta. Now we have the nidbach shalavanim, which is more chomer. The nidbach shalavanim are more mukta machmas gufay. They're not commonly used for seating. Therefore, the lowest, the weakest method of turning them into kelim would not work. Simply, incidentally, sitting on them on Erev Shabbos would not make them kelim. Not only that, a machshava on a temporary basis, a machshava to use them for one Shabbos would not make them ois muktzah. What do you need? You need at least a machshava la'olam. You would have to mentally designate them for seating on a permanent basis, or for sure, a bona fide maisa would also make them non-muktzah. That brings us to Sif Chaf Beis. Says the Mechaber, second line off the top of Ches Amud Beis. Now we're going to talk about items that are even more Muktzah Machmas Gufay than the Nidbach Shalavanim, or maybe they're actually the same as the Nidbach Shalavanim. Let's see the Mechaber. Also, Lechasis Pichavis Be'Evan. You have a barrel, and the opening of the barrel is opened, and you want to cover it. And you see a conveniently sized and shaped rock in the backyard. Could you pick it up and use it as a cover for your barrel? Says the Mechaber, no. Also, lechasis pi chavis be'evan. You can't cover the opening of a barrel with a stone. Oy bibikas, or with a block of wood. Oy liskar behenas adeles. Or if you want to use a block of wood or a stone to kind of lock a door shut. You want to shut the door, and you want to block it so that it can't be opened with a block of wood or a stone. Oy lahakleis behen bebarza. Or you want to take a stone or a block of wood, and you want to use it to bang a spigot into the barrel. You have a barrel of wine, and you want to bang some kind of primitive spigot into the barrel, and you need something to bang with. You can't pick up a stone or a block of wood and use it to bang. What's a barza, says the Ramah, Pirish? Hakone, this is the reed or the tube, shemesimin b'chavis, that you put into a barrel, lahitziyayayin mimenu, it's a primitive spigot. You can't use a block of wood or a stone for any of these purposes. Why? Because the block of wood and the stone are muktzah machmas gufay. Even though you want to do something that's perfectly mutter on Shabbos with it, but it doesn't matter. These are not kelim. These are intrinsically muktzah. They're muktzah machmas gufay, and therefore you can't use them. Afal pi shechashav aleha miba'ayyoy maser. And this is true, even if you looked at it Friday afternoon, and you said, you know what, I'm going to need a doorstop. I'm going to use it for, I didn't have time to get a doorstop for this Shabbos, I'm going to use that stone or that block of wood as a doorstop. Or, I know tomorrow I'm going to need something to bang the spigot into the barrel, I didn't have time to get a mallet, for this Shabbos I'm going to use this stone as a mallet. No, also, that's not enough. Eli imken yichado lekach lo'oilam. If you had a machshava to use this stone or this block of wood on a permanent basis for this usage, that would make it mutter. But to have a machshava to designate it as a keli for one Shabbos, for something like this that is so muktzah machmas gufay, that would not be sufficient. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Katan Tzadik Aleph. Then the same halacha would be, if you want to use some kind of a beam of wood to block a door, you have to mentally designate it on a permanent basis, like a block of wood. That would turn it into a keli and make it non-mukta. You have to have this bachshava before Shabbos, to do these things with it on Shabbos. So what the Mishnah is saying over here is, realize, understand what the Mechaber is saying. The Mechaber is saying that by this stone or by this block of wood, using what I'm going to call the level 2 method of trying to make these items non-mukta, to go ahead and have a mental designation on a temporary basis just for this Shabbos, is insufficient. These items are too mukta. You can't turn them into kelim by having a machshava that I'm going to use it in this way for one Shabbos. Points out the Mishnah Berurah that we just read. If that is insufficient, then certainly the weakest method of making something non-mukta, which is incidental use, no machshava. Just you happen to pick up the stone on Erev Shabbos and you used it to bang in a spigot, but you weren't thinking to make it into a keli, and you weren't thinking about Elch Shabbos, that's certainly insufficient to make it a keli, because that's the weakest method of all. And the Mishnah Berurah continues and points out, and again, this is not like the Chariyah Sheldekel of Sifchaf, Desham, and again he repeats himself, why the Chariyah Sheldekel are so makel? Desham ikka Chariyah is the Kaima li Yeshiva, because by Chariyah Sheldekel they're very commonly used for seating purposes. But over here, that's not the case. It's not very common to just use a stone. Right? Think about it. When's the last time? Oh, it's very common to pick up a stone and use it as a hammer or a mallet? No, it's not. These are not common usages. And therefore, you can't make these items oismukta in such a casual way. Valken, and therefore, be'inon sheyayaked la'oilam me'er Shabbos lehishtamish ben ezetashmish. The only way to make the stone or the block of wood oismukta is to have a machshava to use them as kelim la'olam on a permanent basis. Va'oz hu samei aleim she'mukta, that would make them ois mukta. Says the Mishnah Berurah, ois katan tzadik gimel, but you have to designate it la'olam. Says the Mishnah Berurah, v'im ha'yarogel b'mais ha'choyel li'ishtamish ben ezetashmish. Now, if you have a stone that you regularly use during the week as a doorstop, in other words, if you have a stone that you've been using for weeks and weeks as a doorstop, and now it's negea to move it on Shabbos, and you question yourself, wait a second, am I allowed to move this stone, or is it muktzah machmas gufay? And you remember learning in the Dirshu, well, to make it ois muktzah, you have to mentally designate it as a keli la'olam. I never mentally designated it as anything. Now, it happens to be I've been using it for the last 3 months, every Monday, every Tuesday, and every Thursday as a doorstop. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that's called that you are miyachid et lo'ilam. You don't have to have a beferish, you don't have to sit down, l'shem yichud kutshem rikhu shchinte, that I'm having a machshava now to designate it as a doorstop. No, the facts on the ground prove themselves. If you've always used it during the week as a doorstop, it's a doorstop. He also speaks out very clearly that when we talk about designation, we mean mentally. It doesn't have to be verbally. Aval ois katan tzadik dalet. Aval yichadah, the Mechaber said, but what you need over here is a permanent designation. It cannot be a temporary designation. In the words of the Mechaber, aval yichadah l'shabbos zeh b'lvad, if you mentally designated it for a temporary use, you thought, okay, this Shabbos, I didn't have time to go to Home Depot. So for this Shabbos, I'm using this stone as a doorstop. That is not sufficient. Ois katan tzadik dalet. Ella, in kein asa ben maisa, b'chiyach she'einim l'ishtamish. What would work is if you actually do a maisa to it. If you take the stone and you chisel it to a good shape, then that already definitely makes it into a keli. Okay, so far what the Mechaber said over here in Sifchaf Beis, you have these items that have a very chomer dikka designation as muktzah machmas gufay. You have plain stones, a plain block of wood. by those incidental usage, not enough to make it not muktzah. Machshava, for a temporary one Shabbos usage, not enough to make it non-muktzah. What do you need? You need yichud la'olam. You have to mentally designate that I'm going to use this on a permanent basis. So this is very strict. Now the Mechaber qualifies it a little bit. V'hani mili, when do we say this? When do we say that you need at least yichud la'olam? B'dover she'en darko l'yachad alakach k'goin hani da'amoron. That's by items that are so muktzah machmas gufay, because what you want to do with these items is mamish not common. You want to use a block of wood as a mallet or a hammer to knock a spigot into a barrel. I'm sorry, Charlie. That's not a very common usage of a block of wood. So if you want to make it non-muktzah by designating it for that usage, you're going to need yichud la'olam. Aval b'chol midi de'orche b'hachi. But if you want to use this muktzah machmas gufay item for something that taka is common for that item to be used, kigoin liftsaya ba'egoizim. Apparently back in the day they didn't have nutcrackers, so it was extremely common that you grabbed a rock and you used it to bust open nuts. Now, it's still muktzah machmas gufay. It's not common enough that we're going to say that the rock by default is not muktzah, because what do you mean it's a nutcracker? So the rock still is muktzah machmas gufay. But in such a case, in order to make it non-muktzah, b'yichud l'shabbos achas sagi, then a mere mental designation for temporary usage. If you look at it, again, before Shabbos, not on Shabbos, if you look at it before Shabbos and you have a machshava, oh, that's a convenient rock, I'm going to use that as my nutcracker this Shabbos, that's enough to make it ois muktzah. Even though it's a temporary machshava, it's only l'Shabbos zu, it's not l'olam. But again, in this case, we don't look at the rock as being such a high level of muktzah machmas gufay. Why? Because a lot of people do use these rocks as nutcrackers. So it's not muchan, but it's much closer to muchan than using a block of wood to hammer in a spigot. That's the first opinion that the Mechaber brings down over here. Let's take a look at Mishnah Berurah Ois Katan Tzadikei. Sagi. It would be enough. V'loi dami l'sif chafalof. And now points out the Mishnah Berurah, over here we're letting you get away with a temporary mental designation. This is not like chaf aleph. This is not like the nidbach shalavonim of sif chaf aleph, where we said a temporary mental designation is not enough. Why? Why is this more kal than sif chaf aleph? Tishani hasam she'eno even asu yaleishev aleh. The reason sif chaf aleph, the nidbach shalavonim, is more chamor, and over there you need yichud la'olam or a maisa, but temporary machshava is not enough, is because the stone is just not used for seeding. But over here, rocks are commonly used as nutcrackers. That's why temporary machshava for one Shabbos will work. Over there in Shin Gimel, I forgot, I just slipped my mind. Shin Gimel, Sif Chaf Beis. Oh, yeah, over there, we talk about using a stone, a conveniently shaped stone, as a button on a garment. We were talking about Hoitza over there, Bama Isha Yoitza. So we said a stone that you could use as a button to wind the ties of the beged on, you're allowed to use. And the Mishnah Berurah spoke out over there in Sif Chaf Beis that it has to be, and the Mishnah Berurah spoke out, it has to be she'yichadetoy lekach. It has to be that before Erev Shabbos, you mentally designated that rock to be a button. But over there we spoke out that yichud for Shabbos achas, a temporary machshava, to be miyachad the stone as a button, would be enough. And the reason it would be enough is, again, because it was very common to use these kind of small stones as buttons. So the rule that we're seeing over here, according to this opinion, the first opinion in the Mechaber, is that while we said in the beginning of Sif Chaf Beis that something like a rock or a block of wood is very muksa machmas kufay, and therefore, in order to turn it into a keli, you need a machshava to be miyachid la'olam. That's only when you're trying to use it for something which is very uncommon, like you want to use it as a stool to sit on, or you want to use it as a hammer to bang something in. But if you want to use it for something which is a lot more common, like breaking open a nut, or like in Shin Gimel, where you want to use a small stone as a button, which apparently was a common usage, in that case, even Yichud for one Shabbos, even having a makshava that you're going to use it for one Shabbos, would be sufficient to make it ois mukta. Now again, that's only the first opinion in the Mechaber. Let's go back to the Mechaber now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down, a little bit before the middle of the line. But there are those who take a much more machmer approach, and they say it doesn't matter if what you want to use it for is common or not common. If you want to take something like a rock, which is so muksa machmas gufay, it needs yichud la'olam. Ois katan sadik vav, deloishna, ritzayn deloimar. What the Mechaber wants to say in the second opinion is, whether it's for a common usage or for a non-common usage, you need yichud la'olam, and temporary yichud b'machshava would not work. Now we go to opinion number 3, the Yeshayimrim. Now we have a much more machmer opinion, the most machmer opinion we're going to see. The Yeshayimrim, there are those that say, there are those that say, machshava for one Shabbos doesn't work. Machshava la'olam doesn't work. You need to do a maisa. You need to do something. Chisel the stone. Sand down the piece of wood. You need to do a maisa to turn it into a keli. Simple machshava does not work. Says the Rama, V'ayel el simen reish nun tes to be yichud sagi. The Rama refers us back to simen reish nun tes, where we said very clearly that machshava alone is enough, not like this last very stringent opinion. What did we see in simen reish nun tes? In simen reish nun tes, we were talking about the halachas of hatmana, and we spoke about being matmin, insulating a pot with stones. And then we pointed out over there that if you're going to insulate a pot with stones, you have to have a machshava before Shabbos to be miyachid the stones as something that you're going to use for hatmana. Otherwise, they're muktzah machmas gufay. So you have to have a machshava to turn them into insulation stones. So the Rama's turn is just showing us over here that you see in Simen Reish Nun Tes, not like this last most stringent opinion. This last most stringent opinion holds, machshava is ineffective. Even machshava la'olam is ineffective by something muktzah machmas gufay. You need a maisa. But in Reish Nun Tes, we saw that machshava yichud alone is enough. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Ois katan tzadik zayin de biyichud sagi, haynu ma shebavur sham sif beis da afilu ba'avadim sagi biyichud la'olam." But again, you need yichud la'olam. Now, says the Mishnah Berurah, "Ule inyan midi d'orche b'hachi." But it comes back to the machlokes of earlier in this sif. When you want to designate a stone for something, for a usage that is taka pretty common, like using it as a nutcracker. Neret de mamaka matzarech yesh lismach lahakal to sagi biyichud l'shabbos achas. You could be simach on the first opinion over here in the Mechaber, that if you want to take something which is muksa machmas gufay, and you want to turn it into a keli with a one-time, a temporary machshava to use it for one Shabbos, if it's for a usage that is common, that would be enough. Okay, now, moving along against this whole backdrop, let's go to Sif Chav Gimel. Now, the way the words of the Mechaber are written in Sif Chav Gimel, it doesn't read well, but I'll explain it to you really based on the way the Aruch HaShulchan writes it. Says the Mechaber, Mutter lachtoif anof min hadekel miba'od yom. You're allowed to cut a branch off a date palm tree before Shabbos. Now, we don't need the Mechaber to tell us that, right? Obviously, you're allowed to cut a branch off of a tree on Friday afternoon. There would be no reason for that to be usur. Mutter lachtech anof ben hadekel miba'od yom. You're allowed to cut a tree off a date palm on Erev Shabbos. Umutter lahanif b'yal ha'shulchan b'shabbos la'afriach ha'zvuvim. And now you could use it kind of like a fly swatter, but not to actually swat the flies and kill them. No, you could use it to chase away flies. So you need like a switch to wave back and forth to chase the gnats and the mosquitoes away. So the way the Aruch HaShulchan understands the Mechaber, what he's saying is, it is mutter to cut a branch off of a tree on Erev Shabbos and then use it on Shabbos to go chase away the flies. What's the Mechaber telling you? Very simple. A branch, a stam branch, is mukta machmas gufay. Would you be allowed on Shabbos afternoon when you need something to chase away the flies to go out to your backyard and pick up a stam branch laying on the floor and wave it back and forth to chase away the mosquitoes? No, the branch is mukta machmas gufay. And you never did anything to turn it into a keli. So what the Mechaber is telling you over here, though, is, but if on Erev Shabbos you went and you cut a branch off of a tree with the intent to use it to chase away flies on Shabbos, then you're allowed to use it on Shabbos to chase away flies. You know why? Because like the Mechaber says now, Kevin de Lutzerich Atacha Yasai Kli Gomer. Because when you cut it off the tree on Erev Shabbos with the intent to cut down a fly chaser, you turned it into a keli. So in other words, the distinction that the Mechaber is making is very simple. To go outside Shabbos afternoon and pick a branch up off the floor and use it as a fly chaser, that's 100% aser. Because that branch laying on the ground on Shabbos afternoon is muksa machmas gufay. But you want a fly chaser for Shabbos, very simple etza. Go out Friday afternoon, cut a branch off the tree to make a fly chaser. Now it's a keli. Now you made a keli. You went and you literally cut a fly chaser. So, you made a keli. Now you can use it on Shabbos because now it's a kli shemalachtoi leheter. That's what the Mechaber is saying. Now, for some important details, let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. Ois katan tzadikes, lavriach. Nira, the Mishnah Berurah says, it would seem that this is not the only possible usage. It's not only that you could use it as a fly chaser. To add in la'ayim ala tinoikos, if you need a scary piece of wood to scare a child, you want to tell him, listen, if you don't eat your broccoli, I'm going to give you a whack with this stick, so that you would be able to use it for that purpose also. However, loymar le'eni Yehudi b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to tell an eni Yehudi on Shabbos, she'yitlo shloy anaf min ha'mechbodois she'mechabden abayis. Primitive brooms back in the day were made out of like lulavim. Imagine lulav branches that are a little bit open. They would take a bunch of them and they would tie them together to fashion a broom. Now you need a fly chaser. So you want to tell an Eini Yehudi, do me a favor. Take off one of the date palm branches from the broom and give it to me so I could use it as a fly chaser. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you would not be allowed to instruct an Eini Yehudi to do that. The only way you would be able to use that as a fly chaser is if you detached it from the broom on Erev Shabbos. Now, this is deceptively complex, but we don't have time to get into all the complexities over here. So just very high level, what the Mishnah Berurah is telling you is like this, and I'll tell it to you the way the Taz says it. You can't instruct the Eini Yehudi to go take apart the broom and take off a piece of the broom so that you could use it as a fly chaser. The Taz says, Mimonavshach, you can't do this. You want, in order to use it as a fly chaser, it has to be not muktzah. Okay. In order to be not muktzah, it has to be a keli. So what are you asking the guy to do? You're asking him to take a piece off the broom and turn it into a keli? Turn it into a fly chaser? You're not allowed to tell an Eini Yehudi to make a keli on Shabbos. That would be an Issa D'Rabbanan of Amir Lakum. You can't tell an Eini Yehudi to do tikkun maneh on Shabbos. And Mamadavshach, if it's a keli, you told him to make a keli. And if it's not a keli, then it's muktzah. So that's what the Taz says, why you can't do this. Now, the reason it's deceptively complex is because there's other problems involved here also. First of all, we learned earlier that if something originated from a keli, and now it got broken off the keli, so the salad bowl case, the salad bowl was a keli, it shattered on the floor. There's a piece that's big enough to use as a lid, that broken piece is still considered a keli. Over here, too, l'chari, you had a broom, the broom was a keli. If he takes a piece off the broom, l'chari, it's still a keli. So you didn't tell him to make a keli. It was a keli, and it still is a keli. There's also another issue over here, which is that you would be telling the guy to do seiser. You're telling him to break a broom and break a piece off it. So there's a lot of complexities over here that we can't get into. Ice cut and tzadik tes has vuvim. You want to do this to chase away flies, points out the Mishnah Berurah, Bavachi, Yizar, Shalom, Yahagim, Be'ez, Ahavracha. You have to make sure not to kill the gnats or the mosquitoes when you're chasing them away, because that would be the Isser of Sheikhet, one of the Lamites Malachas. Ice cut and kuf, the Mechaber said, yeah, if you cut it off the tree on Erev Shabbos to turn it into a fly chaser, and now you want to use it as a fly chaser, no problem. Why? Because what do you mean? You turned it into a keli on Erev Shabbos. Points out the Mishnah Berurah that there are other kulas over here that the Mechaber doesn't spell out. Lav dafka kishachatochai l'tzarech. It's not a simple reading of the Mechaber seems to say that the only way you could use this branch as a fly chaser is if you cut it off the tree on Erev Shabbos to be a fly chaser. Says the Mechaber, that's really imprecise. That's not really true. Lav dafka kishachatochai l'tzarech. It doesn't have to be that you cut it off to be a fly chaser. Tehu adin kishachatochai l'sreifa v'hevi muktzah. Let's say you cut it off the tree on Erev Shabbos for kindling, right? But then, v'achakach yichadai l'kach miba ayyoyim. But then, before Shabbos started, you looked at it and you say, you know, that piece that I cut off for kindling, that would make a remarkable fly chaser. That would also be sufficient. And as a matter of fact, it would even be sufficient to make it non-muktzah if it was only a temporary mental designation. If you only thought to use it for a fly chaser for one Shabbos, and you weren't miyachid la'olam. You know why? Kevin da'archehu, because since that is a common use of this branch, so it falls into what we learned in Chaf Beis in the Mechaber's first opinion. Mahani yichud l'shabazu v'chanal b'sif Chaf Beis. Remember, in Sif Chaf Beis, in the first opinion, the Mechaber said, if you want to designate something for a usage which is very common, so then even a temporary mental designation is okay. And that's what you're doing over here. So again, the Mechaber said a very simple halacha. You cut it on Erev Shabbos to be a fly chaser. So says the Mechaber, no problem. You cut it on Erev Shabbos to be a fly chaser. You turned it into a keli. It's a fly chaser. You're allowed to use it on Shabbos because it's a klisha malach de lehetar. Expands the Mishnah Berurah and says, realize that there's another kula here. Let's say you didn't cut it on Erev Shabbos to be a fly chaser. You cut it on Erev Shabbos to be kindling. But then before Shabbos started, you looked at it. You said, you know what? That's the perfect shape and size to be a fly chaser. For this Shabbos, I'm going to use it as a fly chaser. So it's yichadoi l'shabazu. It's only temporary. It's only for one Shabbos. But that's sufficient. Why? Because of the Mechaber's first opinion in Sif Chav Beis, that when you want to designate a muktzah machmas gufay for a usage that's very common, it's even effective if it's only temporary. Okay, we're going to push a little bit ahead. Let's go to Sif Chav Dalet, says the Mechaber. Pishtan saruk, combed flax. Vitzamer menupats, combed wool. Now, simple combed flax, a simple length of combed flax, or a simple length of combed wool, would be muksa machbas gufay. Why is it muksa machbas gufay? Because the typical usage of such items would be to spin them into thread, which you can't do on Shabbos. And they're not kalim. They're not utensils, so they have absolutely no Shabbos usage. They are muktzah machmas gufay. So again, we're dealing here with items that are muktzah machmas gufay. But shenoisnim al hamaka, you want to use it as a bandage? Okay, says the Mechaber. Im choshav aleiv mim ba'od yoyim l'sitam al hamaka. If you had a machshava before Shabbos that you want to use these as a bandage, or if you simply incidentally, so again, this is now the weakest method of making something ois muktzah, if you incidentally used them on Erev Shabbos, you needed a place to sit, you needed something soft to sit on, so you sat on them on Erev Shabbos, oi shetzvan b'shemen, or you dunked them. The word tzvan over here does not mean dyed. It means you dunked them. Or you dunked them in oil, which is something that they would do with something that they wanted to use as a bandage. The gully daite de lamaka kaimi. And by doing this, you effectively designated it to be a bandage, or you attached a string to it so that you should be able to bind it onto a wound on Shabbos. If you did any of these things, sules behu bishom muktzah. You made them ois muktzah. So, what the Mechaber is telling us over here in Sif Chaf Dalet, he's giving us another case like Sif Chaf Aleph by the Chari Yoshel Dekel. Was it Chaf Aleph or Chaf? I'm sorry. It would be like, turning the page back to Amud Aleph, this would be like Sif Chaf. This would be like the Chari Yoshel Dekel, where apparently these pieces of combed flax or combed wood were very commonly used as bandages or seat cushions. The same with the Chari Yoshel Dekel were often used for kindling. They were often used for seat cushions. These pieces of combed flax and combed wool, they were very often used for spinning into thread. Therefore, they are muktzah b'achmas gufay. But it was common to use them for other reasons. So therefore, says the Mechaber, even if you used the weakest method of making it ois muktzah, you just incidentally used it on Erev Shabbos for a mutter purpose, so that would already make it ois muktzah. Continues the Mechaber, hi, how about the refuah problem? You're not allowed to do things for healing on Shabbos. How are you allowed to put it on? Says the Mechaber, Mishum refuah namileka, there's no refuah problem here. She'ein ele kamay malbe shal yistru du begada b'maka. Because this is not a method of healing the wound. This is only protecting the wound. It's a beged. It's not medicinal. But, says the Mishnah Berurah, most stringent opinion, V'eich armim d'loi sabi b'mach shava l'chud. However, there are those that say that a simple mental designation would not be enough over here. Says in the Mishnah Berurah, ice cut in Kuf Aleph, im choshav, hatama kol kanal b'chari yosef chof. This is identical to the case of the Chari Yoshel Dekel Yosef Chof. Dekevich choshav ayoshav husamer leim she muktzah, where it's very easy to make these items non-muktzah. A casual, incidental usage would make them ois muktzah before Shabbos, or a simple machshava, even for a temporary designation for one Shabbos. Even though we're going to see that this is actually considered a machshava le'olam, because once you use it as a wound, by the time Shabbos is over, it's not going to be usable anymore. So this is actually a machshava le'olam. Ice cotton kovbeis, or you should svan, or you dunk them. Pirish tvalon b'shem, and it means you dip them in oil. Targum v'taval tzaba, which is why it's so important to do shtay mikra v'echa targum. Okay, ice cotton kuf gimel b'shabbos, l'fish marsha kosov le'el b'sif chaf, hu adinim chashav litna malamaka b'choil, a simple reading of the Mechaber, where he says that you want to use this to put it on the maka on Shabbos, right? He says, oisha krochan b'mishicha litna malamaka b'shabbos. Mr. Burr points out that when you have a machshava to use something as a keli, we learned earlier, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have a machshava to use it as a keli on Shabbos. It could be even that you had a machshava to use it as a keli during the week. Ice cotton kuf dalet. We ended off with a more machmer opinion. V'yeshayimrim. I am Magen Avram Sheik Shalom Achaber. V'daitid lul kol yam isagim machshava. The Magen Avram takes issue with this more stringent opinion of the Machaber, and he says that no, machshava is always enough. Ube el yirabi yishev kushiyasai. Ayin Shum. Okay, since we're going already so long, it's a little over an hour, and tomorrow's page is short, I'm going to stop over here. We'll continue next time with Sif Chaf Hey. Thank you so much for joining me for Liban HaTorah. This list of Liban HaTorah should be Megan against Klai Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shlom should send Yeshua's Refuas Panasa and Shetuchim to all those in need. We should be Zeichet to see the Bias Goel Tzedek. Bemherev Yameinu Amen. Be well.